Hi there. Thanks for having me. So why OTT tech will drive the future of TV is the theme of our presentation. If I start with a blank screen here in a moment, it has a purpose. If you think about the history of television, if I were to ask the room right now, do you know when television was actually invented? Anybody? 1927. So we're doing basically 90 years of television and nothing has changed. This is the most profound change in television history in these 90 years where we've become used to sitting in front of a couch and letting somebody else tell us how to consume this content. So the site is intentionally left blank. There's no need for slideware to explain this, but what the future will hold is what I'm trying to convey here to you today. From content to experience, the pieces that actually comprise the convergence of what is known as OTA, traditional over-the-air television, to OTT is what that subject of the speech is all about. It is not about the death of linear television, what a lot of people keep talking about. It's not about the death of the living room experience, nor is it about the content, the great content that studios are creating for us. It is about how we start to consume this content that is now drastically changing. We've been given for years the opportunity to sit on the couch, click a button, and on comes shows that were predetermined by somebody that thought maybe the end user will like this. We refer to the television as the dumb box. It's a, a device that sits in our home and somebody else tells us what to watch for. The OTT world has started to change this, and this is the drastic adjustment that is now a challenge for the broadcaster to maintain momentum and keep the end users engaged. FreeWheel recently revealed a study and said the largest growth market in OTT is actually connected devices. Might surprise some of you because it's not mobile. It's the connected devices. The living room experience is growing from 8% in 2014 to some 27% this year. Probably surprises a lot of you guys because everybody's talking about, but what about all those cable cutters? The television doesn't disappear, it's just the way the content flows to the television and what choices we're making on what to watch on the television is what's changing. And it's moving more and more in the direction of the end user who's now starting to actually tell the system what they want to watch, when, and where. So cable cutting will continue to happen, even if there are broadcasters in the audience, I'm sorry about this. But there are ways how we're going to be able to offset this. In the world that VDMS roams, our network at any given moment has the largest percentage of viewing experiences seen on the Xbox, on the Apple TV, Roku, and on Chromecast. Those connected devices is now what we see is driving this growth of 27% by the end of last year. And mobile is contributing. There is an overabundance of content that we're being fed, and mobile plays a big role. A lot of what we're seeing from the data that we're analyzing is that the mobile experience and being notified about new shows is actually driving the end user in the home to say, hey, I need to watch this, but I don't want to watch it on the small screen. I'm going to go watch this on the big screen. So this is happening right now. The freedom to advance beyond static linear experiences. Why does somebody still dictate us to, what is it that we're going to watch on a regular television box right now? I have the choice of making channel decisions, and then you guys all have seen this, the grid that lets me move up and down. But I can't really go any further than this. I can only pick from the content that somebody else has determined that might be of interest to the end user. So we want to move past this fairly static catch-up TV model. The other question I would pose to the audience is, why do we still have to set our DVR in a day and age like this? Why do I still have to, make sure that at 6:30 My DVR is set to record 60 minutes on a Sunday night. I hope that's the right time slot. When I know all of that content is already available online. The challenge for the broadcasters is the advertising dollars in the television world is way more lucrative than what is happening in the OTT world. But even those challenges will be overcome over time, and we're going to go in a little bit into the details of this. Most of the technologies that I'm talking about today are already in existence, and we're going to delve a little bit into the details of this. We'll start with session logs. What we're doing with NVDMS is, and I'm going to go a little bit into the technical details, is when an end user from a specific device connects to a piece of content that a content producer, a studio, broadcaster, or a network has put up on the network, we've actually started to track individual sessions. We know that that dumb television doesn't know who's sitting behind that machine. But if I'm on a mobile device or a connected device, I know the IP address, I know possibly the location, if I'm on a mobile device, and I'm starting to learn, I'm feeding through artificial intelligence the system now information about where this end user is, what may cause this end user to interact with this piece of content at that point in time. And these individualized sessions is what is so absolutely critical for the broadcasters to understand now, can we target some of this content so that I can prolong the viewing experience of this end user? The videos are, you know, that the consumers are actually consuming are indicators of what might actually work. If we can track through these session logs how long somebody is watching a piece of information, I already learned something about them, right? In what order are they watching it, and what potentially drove a decision to view this particular content? You all heard probably about multi-touch attribution to the broadcasters. This is absolute key, all initiated through artificial intelligence. And those viewing habits and the individual user experience that I'm describing are made possible through artificial intelligence. The way the artificial intelligence really works is as we stream the videos through our systems, we can scrape through these session logs what's actually happening. I know when somebody actually hits a pause button. I know when they're maybe skipping away out of a piece of content. All of that gets logged. Now imagine the millions and millions of hours that were streamed just on our system last year. I don't mind sharing this. There were some 1.6 billion hours that went through our system last year. And all of the information that is being logged is where the value to the broadcasters now sits, because they never had this on television. Television just streamed in one direction, not knowing who's actually sitting on the couch. But in our world, within the OTT world, this is where the important pieces are now being assembled, fed back to the broadcaster so that they can actually start creating personalized viewing experiences, what this is all about. We can tell, you know, when a user drops out, we can tell when the video quality is maybe degrading. All things that are really important to the broadcasters and content creators in the online world. The television is sort of, it just works. When was the last time you actually clicked the button and your television was black? It doesn't happen there. But in the OTT world, I mean, you guys all remember the spinning wheels, the advertisement kicks me out, and then all of a sudden my browser shrinks out of full screen. All of this is being reported. And that is attributes to some folks maybe actually leaving that viewing environment. And this is being fed back to the broadcasters that are now trying to contemplate how they can offset somebody actually leaving a certain viewer experiences. They're experimenting with UIs on different devices. What I consume on an iPhone needs a very different environment than, or navigational controls than what I'm maybe consuming on a Roku box or on an Xbox. On a television, it's still the clicking, right? But it's still happening. So what the broadcasters really want to know from us is, how did the video perform? What prolonged the viewing habits? And what experiences each individual user expects to continue to stay engaged in their content? Those are the big pieces that we're trying to get into. With the second point that I want to make with regards to data collection, it is, and I mentioned this with a grid, you know, we are being fed content that somebody decided for us. If I now learn about all of those pieces that in my, you know, environment at my home, and that information travels back to the broadcaster, that obviously, you know, this individual is watching a lot of sports shows. I happen to be a 50-year-old German that is interested in soccer. And my, you know, preferred soccer team is Bayern Munich. If they see me watch this particular soccer game, and this information now travels back to the broadcaster, wouldn't it be great if an advertising component could now actually bring up a Nike commercial featured with my sports team, Bayern Munich, as part of that experience? This is the AI that was used to get to the data, to tell me and create now this personalized viewing experience that definitely will keep me engaged because it has something to do with my soccer team. Maybe it's, you know, they know that I live in an area where there's a Domino's Pizza around the corner. That location awareness drives continued viewer engagement. If I know that there's the sushi place or the Domino's around the corner, why doesn't the broadcaster stream these types of advertisements into my viewing experience? My wife may be completely different. She may be watching, God forbid, Housewives of Orange County, but she does it. And maybe she's interested in handbag commercials. This is what I'm talking about with regards to personalized viewing experiences. And it all starts with the artificial intelligence scraping the viewing experience back to the devices that we have now attached. That dumb antenna was a one-way street. Now we have this two-way street. We're feeding information back from what is actually happening on those devices. So back to my viewing experience, of course, I much rather prefer a good Hefeweizen over a Coors Light. For obvious reasons. And are there any doubters in the audience? Okay, very good. Where this actually leads to, and this is now getting really interesting, and we see a lot of our broadcasters experiment with this, is if I know what I can do with the advertisement, and I can cater to that individual and prolong those viewing experiences, what can I do about the content? Is there something that I can actually enhance with regards to the few hours that I may have with this particular user? And so envision a world where I can, and you're all doing this today when you go to Google or Bing or any of the search engines that are out there, you type in a search and Google returns you a whole bunch of results. Why can I not do this on television? If I'm interested in Tom Brady, or in this case, maybe Jupp Heynckes, who's the new coach of my favorite soccer team, and I punch this in, couldn't I concatenate all the clips that I now know as the broadcaster within microseconds and create a personalized viewing experience, what we call virtual linear feeds, that is just for me? Forget about that grid, that end user, that viewing guide that we all have, and pick something. I've already made and told the broadcaster what I'm interested in. I want to see anything about Bayern Munich or Jupp Heynckes. And on the back-end services, the broadcasters can now query their data catalog, their, you know, entire offering, and say, for this guy, I'm going to put all of those clips together and create a viewing experience just catered for Ralph. That's the world we're actually heading towards. And a lot of this technology already exists. What doesn't exist are the business models surrounding it. And it's the entire ecosystem that is actually challenged. The ad agencies are starting to think in those terms. Usually, when somebody comes up, you know, from Nike and says, I need a Nike commercial, they're going to create one Nike commercial about that new boot is out. What I've just described on this personal viewing experience, they now need to think in terms of, let's create a Nike commercial for that soccer team that they might be interested. I guarantee you there's a player on Bayern Munich's team that probably has a Nike shoe on. So let's pull that out and create that advertisement for that particular end user. The reason why this is so important is the CPM, the yield on the ad dollars for this targeted ad right now, is breaching then north. And that is the biggest challenge that the broadcasters have to overcome. The advertising, well, you guys have all seen how many millions of dollars are being spent on an NFL commercial. 30 seconds, $4.5 million. You can't get that in the OTT world. But when you can target the ads, and you can, through multi-touch attribution, get the folks to actually engage longer, all of a sudden that ad is that much more valuable. And if you can target that, and I think this is the hard part for everybody to understand, look at the room right now. There's some 200, 300 people probably in here. You guys are all watching a certain live event, and now imagine all of those ads that you're consuming are targeted for your viewing experience because of something I've learned from the history of you guys actually engaging in the online world. This is where it gets really tricky, but that technology exists already today. It's the business models that are really having a challenge, and the programmatic advertising agencies that now have to compensate with the fact, oh my God, we're going to have to create a lot more, actually, in ads than we've done before. I find this, and I see this, as a business opportunity. This is not the demise of television, how we know it. It is the new wave into the television world, the way we're going to hopefully interact very near in the future. Last but not least, we talked a little bit about the personalization, is how do you actually put all of those pieces together? You know, these server-side ads that I was talking about, the log information that is being created, and how does this all happen within microseconds? Because, you know, on some live events, you can't stop that soccer game. It's happening. On the back-end services, through Moore's Law, the technology has advanced so quickly, so fast, through real-time bidding engines. There are exchanges and ad networks out there that make those decisions for us based on the information I'm sending back to them. The data collected about the end user, the folks that are, you know, heavily engaged in trying to figure out how can we actually advance all of this data aggregation. You guys have all read this. Verizon just bought Yahoo and AOL. I'm in the middle of integrating both companies right now within VDMS. And it's a big challenge because this entire ecosystem was flipped upside down. And the opportunity is there for those that start to experiment with the technologies that are out there to really start to make big bucks. Last but not least, I want to bring up augmented reality. There's been so much talk about VR and AR. In my opinion, AR is really what will become very, very important for the television world. And I think the disrupted viewing experiences that I've just described will change over time. You all heard about long form, you heard about, you know, short form content, the 30-minute episodes. There is this thing called midform that actually sits right in the middle of this sweet spot. And augmented reality is starting to be used to actually create advertisement inside of the content that I'm consuming. Think about product placement, interacting with that Coke bottle that sits in the middle of the Modern Family episode that I'm watching right now. And as I'm clicking on it, everything pauses and I can now interact with the ad, with the product. Potentially even complete an electronic sell-through. Those are all of the technologies that we're playing with today, the broadcasters are challenging us with. And I can't wait, you know, what else they're going to come up with. It is, like I said earlier, probably the most profound change in television history, what I've seen in the last 7 years of doing this, that is happening this year. Everybody expected the transition from OTA to OTT to go much faster. I think it's the broadcasters that are holding on to the big ad dollars on television that were the challenge. With everything that I've just explained and showed you guys with regards to how we're actually going to cope with this onslaught of data that is coming our way, I think there are ways how the broadcasters will start to see there is a way how we can survive the demise of the cord cutters going forward. With regards to the beauty of, or as we call it, the beauty of the future based on data, there's no risk in taking in experimenting. I think the pieces that, you know, everybody is hesitant on is we are in the middle of this convergence. I mean, we're right smack really into it. I mean, I'm still one of those guys that actually has a cable subscription. Show of hands here real quick. Who still has cable subscription in this room? All right. Who doesn't? Because this was, wow. Last year when I asked that question, I think there were like 3 or 4 people that raised their hand. You see the difference? This was a very, you know, even match here with folks actually going out there. There will be many formulas that probably will be used. I think I'll leave you with the last, you know, with the last statement. I think the challenge for us of in the future is how we're going to stay anonymous without losing those personalized viewing experiences. That's going to be the challenge. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ralph. Ralph Jacob, ladies and gentlemen.